When I left in 37, there were restrictions, but we just were hurt economically and socially. At the time, yeah, there were concentration camps where political prisoners were probably executed. It really started with Kristallnacht, Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht was November 8, 1938. The cause was a young Jew had killed a German diplomat in Paris. This gave the stormtroopers an excuse to riot and to burn synagogues and arrest Jews, Jewish men and boys. My father was arrested and sent to a concentration camp, but he was lucky. My mother went to the Gestapo to find out where he was so she could send him clothing. She opened her purse, and the Gestapo officer saw the steamship ticket. He took a look at it, and he said, in this case, we release your husband right away. 2 weeks later, he was on the ship coming to the U.S. They had already gotten visas to come to this country. And it just happened that Kristallnacht happened before the date of departure.
So that German officer showed some empathy, some feeling?
Well, at the time, they were trying to get Jews out of Germany. That was their main objective at the time. It was not killing them.
The killing of the Jews started
later. It must have been in the early 40s, 40, 41. There was a conference, the Wannsee Conference in Berlin. Hitler and Eichmann and some others made the decision to establish these concentration camps and to kill the Jews.
As you grew up, you had friends that were both Jews?
I had mostly Gentile friends.
So they were mostly Germans?
Yeah. Well, we were German.
Right.
I mean, we were nationalistic Germans.
It was your country?
Yeah. That's why I joined the National Guard in 39. I didn't join it as an American. I joined it to get even with Hitler. I mean, I became Americanized, but my original purpose was to get even with him.
Yep.
For saying that we were not Germans.
He was against everything, wasn't he? He was obviously against Jews, socialists.
Catholics.
Liberals, capitalists.
Yeah.
Communists.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear him or see him?
Well, we heard him a lot. He came to our town one time, but I didn't see him. Whenever there was some event, we would march to the city square. They had these loudspeakers, and we listened to him. You stood there with your hands stretched out and sang the Horst Wessel Lied.
You did, everybody who stood
everybody.
There in the square.
Well, in school, when the teacher came in, you stood up, Heil Hitler. Every class.
And you felt good at that time?
No, I mean, because I knew that he was against the Jews and he was going to do something. It was a matter of uncertainty what he was going to do. You knew right then there was no future in Germany.
It was his speaking ability that really brought him to prominence.
Yes. He was an astute politician. As I say, the overthrow of the Treaty of Versailles, jobs, food, and national pride. Those were the things that he emphasized. And, of course, he needed a scapegoat, and the Jews were the scapegoat.
Why did he need a scapegoat?
He needed a scapegoat after World War I. He had to blame the problems on somebody, also the economic problems.
He said that races without homelands were parasitic races.
Oh, yeah, he tried to develop a whole culture or social science about race.
He wanted the master race.
Yeah. He sent people to the Himalayas to investigate where these people came from. They had some odd ideas.
Also, he was for the elimination of gypsies.
Yeah. Homosexuals.
Czechs and Poles. Mentally, physically handicapped people.
Yeah. The underrace. These were not up to normal standards and did not deserve to live, so to speak.
What did you hear about his own upbringing that would have brought on some of these thoughts?
Oh, he could not really find a normal life. He was an itinerant painter.
An itinerant painter?
Yeah, he'd make postcards, pictures. It was, I think, an inferiority complex to a large extent. But he had this magnetic speaking ability, and he got a few people that backed him. But the nationalistic emphasis was a big thing. We were superior.
Naturally, people living in that country would buy into that.
Yeah, but I mean, not everybody went crazy over that. Germans, I guess, were arrogant. Of course, you got to remember, after the 30-year war, which ended in 1648, it was split up into small principalities, and it didn't become a nation again till 1871.
The pride of Germany was not there for a long, long time.
No.
So when Hitler comes along and says, you have a reason to be proud of something,
yeah,
that was a, yeah, message that hadn't really been,
yeah,
preached before.
Of course, the thing is, let's face it, technically, the arts, music, and so, Germans did accomplish a lot of science.
I'm thinking about you as a young lad in that square and Hitler speaking, and through your parents talking about it, you know, at 13, 14, 15 years old, that you were not going to be staying there very long.
Well, at the time, things were just kind of beginning to get bad, and you really didn't know. It was an unknown. They let us live, but you knew there was no future, but you didn't know what the future was. There was this uncertainty, because really, unless you had relatives outside the country, you really didn't have any help. There were some organizations. Of course, this was ready-made for the Zionists. See, most German Jews were not Zionists. All of a sudden, that is one of the few places where you can go. So for them, it was ready-made. Mm-hmm. But you really didn't have an idea what was going to happen. And the thing was that people in this country, I mean the Jews in this country, didn't realize how bad it was.
As Hitler was beginning to preach anti-Semitism, were there other Germans around you that kind of bought into that and would treat you different because of it?
I must say that I was never mistreated. No, let's face it, I don't look Jewish.
Right.
Neither did my dad. My dad lost his store. He started out as a traveling salesman. He couldn't have done it if he would have looked Jewish.
What kind of restrictions did you have being a Jew?
You couldn't go to the public swimming pool. You were prohibited from going certain places.
Did they have signs? Was that a stated thing? That,
yeah, Juden Eintritt verboten.
So it was kind of like blacks here in America.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just accepted that.
Well, it kind of developed slowly. It wasn't from one day to the next. It was kind of a creeping thing.
Do you remember as a young boy that places you could go at one time and then all of a sudden you realized you couldn't go to the swimming pool?
And yeah.
How you felt about that?
Well, I didn't like it, but there's nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
Hitler came to power in 33, January. I left my hometown in late 35, early 36. I don't remember exactly. Obviously, my Gentile friends couldn't play with me anymore. We couldn't be together because they had to join the Hitler Youth. I mean, this was all compulsory. None of the parents of my friends really were Nazis. I mean, they had to join the party, don't misunderstand me, because they were judges, lawyers, company managers, so they did have to join.
But they didn't embrace the philosophy.
No. Maybe certain parts, like the nationalistic part, they may have.
Right.